This is the Demon Plague.
All right, can you lead us to where this meeting is happening, and we'll go talk to everybody.
I can, and Ispiril will lead you out the door that you came through, and then will lead you to the door opposite it that is in that hall where you heard all of the wailing. And before you go in, he says, now, before you go in, when I thought it was you, I argued perhaps a little too hard that you were doing the right thing. It did not please Elegree to hear me stand up for you, so, shall we say, vigorously. So I may not be exactly welcome in this place. I'm not sure if you want me to come in with you or if you want to go in yourselves. I'm happy to go in if you think that will help.
Maybe just like be like, hey, they're here. Like, you know, if they're worried that we're going to do something bad, maybe not sneaking in or just appearing is a good idea. Can you just like announce us or something?
Sure. Yes, I can do that. And he knocks on the door and then opens it up. And the door opens into essentially a modest throne room. There is a raised dais at the back of the room. There is a throne sitting on it. And you can see the throne is gilded. And atop the throne is a mummy with a familiar form. Around her are other mummies that are not so richly armored. However, this mummy is wearing a really like gilded gold version of the watch armor from the watch in Tomar's Crossing. And you can see that this is Baobab. You know, you recognize sort of the form of this figure as Baobab. And you can see there are a couple other mummies, four other mummies around her. In addition to that, you can see that she is speaking with Elegree, who is there. Elegree is an Erinyes, which is essentially a devil that looks like a fallen angel. They have these black bat wings coming off of them, and they are extremely pale, you know, like white, alabaster white skin, and they have these ruby red lips and red eyes, and she has this magnificent sword at her side. In addition to that, you also notice that there are several ghouls in this room. The ghouls all look human in appearance. There's probably about 8 of those. Yes, there are 8 ghouls there. So you've got 8 ghouls, 4 mummies, an extra special mummy in addition to that, and you have Elegree. There are also no other entrances or exits in this room that you notice.
Azira's like holding up her mace, but it's like shaking.
He's like, I shouldn't attack any of these people either, I suppose. No. We gotta talk to these people. Just let me know.
Yeah. And you can see there are some raised eyebrows, especially when you come in with the angel in tow. And Ispiril announces all of you. And as he is announcing, turns to Azira and says, I'm sorry, your name? What was your name?
Azira.
This is Uzira. She's a servant of Eldath. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. And as you all step into the room, Elegree draws this magnificent sword, and you can see it's got a glowing red edge on it, and she points it at all of you and says, that's far enough.
That could be your sword, I say to Ezebel in brain chat. That could be your sword. Axe is cool.
Ezebel's not picking up the phone right now.
Yeah, I can step forward and kind of put my hands up, and mm-hmm. I say, let's talk. There has been much to discuss.
And as you do, Baobab stands up and removes the wraps from her face, and you can see for certain now this is definitely Baobab. She's got some more sunken undead features than she did, but it is enough for you to see that. And she has sort of a stony demeanor about her.
Oh. I wave pleasantly.
Baobab, it is good to see you, but I'm sorry it has to be under these circumstances.
Why are you so sorry, Torsten?
Sorry for the way that you had to leave.
But you don't desire another fight?
No, why would we? We only wish to see Zancrown put down. To see all of you released to where you should be.
She make a persuasion check.
I rolled a 6, so that's a 15.
She gives a quizzical look at you and then gives a quizzical look over to Elegry. And Elegry says, yes, and I suppose you desire those keys by any means necessary.
I say, we're aware that you heard or saw the things, the conversations we had. We had to get all of the information. We didn't want to start any immediate fights by completely denying someone's request. I gesture back to Azira and I say, look, the gods are on our side directly. They have sent their servants, their powerful servants, to help us do what we are doing.
I lift up my little mace and go, ha!
Boy.
And when you do that, Elegry, who is the fallen angel looking devil, turns to you, Azira, and says, and what would you do, angel? We are the ones, the devils and undead, who have kept this demon locked up for a long time. What do you desire become of us?
I'm hearing all this for the first time. Personally, I think whatever results in the least loss of mortal life is what I would prefer.
So your god didn't send you to tear through this dungeon looking for keys?
She wasn't specific.
Azira, make a persuasion check.
Okay. What? I got a natural 20.
Oh, holy moly.
As you do that, you can see Elegry's look softens a little bit. She says, I thought all angels were on righteous crusades. This is a welcome relief to hear that you are not here to smite us all. And Baobab looks at all of you and says, so if you're here to open the dungeon, what about the rest of the factions here? What about those who would seek to destroy Elegry, who only desires peace here among the factions?
Brock doesn't say anything, but at that, like at the mention of the other factions, she just sighs heavily and rolls her eyes. It's just...
You guys have like a whiteboard or anything we can kind of go over what's happening? Like, because I think we're going to need to make a chart or, yeah.
That is when Elegry will say, yes, let us review. Here's what we know so far. And she bangs on the wall and this wall flips over and it's covered in brown paper and has red yarn going
Yay!
Everywhere. To
yes.
The leaders. And she says, okay, this is me. And she points to a picture of herself. She says,
she takes out like a half-smoked cigarette.
Yeah, exactly. And here's all of you. And she points to, you all have portraits there that are like in the center of it.
Are they flattering? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, whatever.
Are we smiling? Or are these like mug shots?
Did she get us get like our elementary school pictures?
So everybody looks pretty good, except for Rock, who looks like way too close to the portrait. You know, it's like just one bird eye almost. Yeah.
Oh, that's my best one yet, huh?
And then she bangs on the thing and a picture of Azira comes up and joins all of you.
What?
Oh, Azira awesome. Claps her hands. Yay!
And
best
she says,
friends.
You came to me first. I was the first leader you came to. All I said was that if you could get Baobab to join our peace, we would be able to give you our key. But then, instead of going to Baobab, you turned around and went, for some reason, to the hobgoblins and the goblinoids.
All these secret doors, you know, you go through one door and you end up in another place. That's, I think, kind of what happened there.
Yeah, I think it was
like, aren't you only mad because, like, you thought you were best friends and now you're not, though? Like, if you were still best friends, you'd still think it was a good idea.
I definitely feel like this is misdirected at us. There's anger misdirected.
We definitely thought we were
this
going
is some
to
projection
like-
right yeah, here. We're true. Not the ones you should be mad at.
If I remember correctly, the reason we went there is we thought we'd have a better chance at getting Baobab to agree if we had two factions who were like, yes, let's do this. we didn't know we were showing up to goblinoids. We were like, let's kill everybody. Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she nods and she says, fair enough. I was duped by them as well, apparently. Uh-huh. So what I can tell you is that we know that they asked you to kill me and make it look like the dwarf faction had done it. And then she goes over to a portrait of Jarriott. Although this portrait is very different. You see Jarriott in like a vampiric form as she is talking about him. And you know he is now a pit fiend.
God, you need to update your pictures. That one does not. He looks like your friend isn't a pit fiend though. He's just a big devil with horns, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. These are like bigger horns, muscular. Like he's not a vampire anymore.
Yeah, this is his college graduation photo. We're looking for a grad school.
Do you know why someone could change in here like that?
She stops for a second, considering it, and she says, well, sometimes the more time one spends, the more they evolve. Their form can change here in the dungeon, especially if they, you know, years of service. It's why we see people turning into liches. She motions to the elf faction leader who has turned into a lich, as you know, because you have met with Vaynala. And so she says, you know, Vaynala is a lich. She said she would give you her key once you had all the other keys. So what we know about Jarriott is he asked you then to kill either everyone in my faction or everyone in the faction of the goblinoids. And now you're here.
Yes.
And I frankly don't know what you're doing because you told everyone you would do everything that was required of you.
We don't know what we're doing either. We have to come up with a decision.
You don't know what you're doing either. And that, everybody draws weapons in that room.
Rock, please. I can't kill everyone in here. I can't.
I mean, I could. Everyone, all right.
This actually kind of works out in our favor, like realistically.
I was going to say there's two of them here. That's too curious. How many mummies are there here besides? I'm just wondering.
Total of five mummies.
Five mummies. There are eight wraiths. There's Elegry and our friend, but I don't think he'll be first.
Wait, you said Elegry was hot, right?
That's
the goblin lady.
I just wanted to make sure.
That was the dwarf woman. She looked like
Tessa Thompson. Tessa Thompson.
Yes.
Ah, my wife.
I'll see all the swords drawn. I'll go like, no, not like we're thinking about murdering people now. We just have to figure out what is the smart thing to do.
Yeah. What is the most efficient murder?
Yes.
She looks just annoyed that everybody would immediately jump to murder.
Yeah. Torsten is kind of shaking his head and just like, we need to stop Sandcrown. That is all that is important. All of this place, all of the drama that is happening here, I'm sorry, but it is not real. It is not for any purpose. You are all creatures of this place. You are not. When we release you, you will go to where you belong. You do not belong here. So whatever we must do to make that happen, we will do. At this point, I think if we go after the goblins, that would allow us to get all of the keys.
Yeah, because the dwarves want us to kill the goblins, and the goblins want to kill you, so maybe you can give us your key if we kill the goblins. And then we'll get the key from... Yeah, I think the goblins are the ones to go for. Plus, they wanted to kill you, right? Don't you want to kill them instead?
I hate goblins, I say.
Good. Eldath's on board.
I look surprised, yeah, that you say.
Undead, okay. Goblins?
Apparently there's much I have to learn about the ways of
Eldath. When you're saying that, Elgri says, yes, and what about Jarriott? He too would betray this peace. He also must go.
I hate Jarriott, I say.
What did he ask again?
He wanted us to kill either Elgri or the goblins.
No, he wanted the genocide.
He just wanted to fight. He wanted to fight.
Yeah, he wants genocide for either the humans or the goblins.
So yeah, we go kill goblins, which sucks. Oh, no. But then we get their key. We go back to dwarves. We've killed goblins. We get his key. You give us your keys. We go to elves. We get key. We're done. Yeah.
She says, new term.
Okay.
Why are you moving the goalpost?
Yeah.
And she said, well, maybe you should have just slain those who didn't want to work with me to begin with, and that would have been much easier. But
that's the opposite of truce, so I don't
I don't need you to kill all the dwarves. I just want you to kill Jarriott.
Oh, good. Gosh.
Okay.
That's awesome. Okay. That actually, that simplifies a lot.
Well, the goblins might be cool if we kill the dwarves. They might be like,
oh, I want all of the goblins dead, too.
Oh.
That is not the same as I only want Jarriott dead.
Oh, well, I'm saying instead of all of the goblins and all of the dwarves, I want all of the goblins and Jarriott dead.
Hmm. What if we just kill Legba, though? Does it have to be all the goblins?
Go ahead and make a persuasion check.
Thank goodness.
Did Jarriott want proficient. All the goblins, though, or did he just want Legba?
He wanted everybody.
He wanted all the goblins.
Okay.
Because I'm not super, like, into the genocide route, so...
Sure.
Rock usually isn't, but, like, this place, everybody comes back in 30 days, and she thinks... she thinks we're going to kill these guys, and then we're going to kill Zancrown, and then everybody's going to go do what they need to do. So she's
just because you can resurrect somebody after you kill them does not erase the killing, though.
No, true. She thinks it's stuck, but it's... Yeah, it's not... It's not genocide. It just sucks.
Temporary napping. For them.
It's okay, so nine. I rolled a 13 plus 8 is 21.
She nods and she says, I would be fine with that.
Okay.
Remove them. We'll have new leaders who truly understand what must happen to keep Zancrown sealed in case you all fail.
Maybe the icy hobgoblin lady.
Oh, yeah, my buddy.
She seemed cool.
Yeah. The bugbear.
Mm-hmm. The bugbear.
Yeah, she seemed neat, so.
I will look to Baobab and I say, what are your thoughts on this?
Baobab will think about it and she says, this is all very overwhelming. The demon plague killed me and now I'm here. And frankly, she looks at Elegry and says, no offense, but this sucks. This is a terrible existence.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible.
I think that if we can accomplish this with the least amount of bloodshed, as you have suggested, so that we keep a fair army in place here, should you fail, perhaps we can contain Zancrown, and that would be reassuring to me. If you agree to this deal, and Elegry agrees, I am happy to hand over my key.
And I looked at my compatriots, I said, are we agreed then?
Yes.
I clap, it's a deal!
In my head, just say yes, we'll figure it out later.
Yes, we'll figure it out later.
Oh my god.
And Elegry says, good.
Good. Hello, it's me, Rudy, your podcast pal. Just wanted to check in, say hey. Follow us on that Twitter. I'm at Rudy Basso, Lauren is at Obo Lauren. James is at James Intricasso. Robert is at Raddu76. Guess what year he was born in? And TK is at TK Joins the Fray. Thank you, as always, to BattleBards and TabletopMusic.com for providing some of the sound effects and music you have heard in this episode. If you would be so kind, I would love it in my heart of hearts if you left a review for us on Apple Podcasts, the most major of all the pod catchers. Also, hey, there's a new podcast on Don't Split the Podcast Network. It's called The Fairest of the Seasons, and it is a Good Society podcast, actual play podcast. Good Society, basically the Jane Austen RPG. So if you're a fan of romance from the 1800s, you should definitely check that out. That's it for me. Oh, I guess go to don'tsplitthepodcastnetwork.com to find out more and to find other great podcasts. Oh, thank you to our guest Noel Cherie for being on this episode, damesanddragons.com for more of her. All right, that is going to do it for me. You have a great day, and I'll see you later. Stay safe. Can you give us any items to help us fight Legba and Jarriott in our quest?
Rain, you are always looking for fun loot. I kind of appreciate that.
I'm definitely going to need a persuasion check there.
I've always rolled really well at this, though I have no modifier. 14.
Legba and Elegry shake their heads and say, we will need that in case you fail against that.
Can you get us an audience with the leaders so we don't have to, or just like some way for us to get directly to them?
I think that would not be the best plan, given the fact that they know you are supposed to kill us. If we set up some sort of meeting, they might know that we caught you or you were trapped or that sort of thing.
I thought they were separate from all of this nonsense.
Baobab looks around and says,
you know,
I could try.
For old time's sake, Baobab, remember the good
you
times?
You killed me.
In Rainbowy Gym, in the gym, I gave you that medal. Yeah.
You gave me that medal that was meant to mark me as a diseased person.
No. It was because you were special.
I was.
I point to her armor and I say, we did it on only on behalf of the city of, or the town of.
Yeah, Bajalan made me do it. He said I had to. It was Bajalan's fault.
Well, then Bajalan is a true hero because I would have torn the town apart.
All right.
But
fine.
I don't. We're not buds.
Aww.
Don't act like we were friends, Rain.
We were not enemies.
Did you know my name before you decided that I had the demon plague and you would have to kill me?
Listen, this is all very well and good. They're all now getting awkward.
I was a hermit. I barely knew anybody.
Rock, like, grabs Rain by the shoulder.
Wow.
And is just like, all right, time to go.
You
this is now no
me
longer
from
productive.
A conversation.
I think that went very well.
How would they know? How would the dwarves know if we killed all the goblins? Like, what is their.
They didn't ask for any proof or anything. They just said go.
Or whatever, yeah.
Ew. So I assume they'll just. They'll send a scout or something because it's going to take them 30 days to revive.
Everybody
so.
Knows everything, right? We just have to assume that everybody knows everything from
pretty much.
I guess if we just wear the badges while we murder them. They can.
Well, that's how Elegry will
badge
know.
Cam.
Yeah, badge cam. I don't know how Jarriott would know.
Yeah, that's... let's see. What
does it matter that Jarriott knows? Are we so? We're going to kill all the goblins, and then we're going to go kill
one goblin.
Just like, bro.
We haggled down to one goblin.
Okay. Down, right. The leaders of both factions is what you
It doesn't really matter if Jarriott knows or not. We're killing
him. He's going to be dead. He just tastes.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, well, let's also be fair. We say we're just killing one, but we're going to get in there, and there's going to be others. And once they find out what we've done, we're going to have to fight our way out.
We should start with Jarriott then.
Why is that?
Honestly, if we kill Jarriott, we may still be able to appeal to Elegry's mercy for Legba, since the only reason that Legba wanted to kill Elegry was so that they could kill Jarriott. So there's always a chance we persuade Legba perhaps into servitude or a prisoner, something like that. Honestly, the more bodies we can use, Jarriott seems the least likely to help us against Zancrown. So the more bodies we have, the better. Secondly, from a metagame perspective, I don't want us to use up all of our resources on a vampire when we know we have to go up against a pit fiend right after.
I mean, none of these are going to be fun fights, but I do like that it's possible we could get Elegry to decide that we don't need to kill Legba, and that's one less fight.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
There's always that maybe taking Jarriott's head to Legba we can take Legba in as a prisoner and appeal to Elegry's mercy.
I mean, maybe Legba will be thankful for us killing Jarriott too and just give us her key. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we don't need to do any prisoners. We just need to appeal to Elegry to not be an asshole.
Or kill Elegry and take her cool sword.
If people come back in 30 days, can you just be like, just hide out for 30 days? Vaporize you.
I
mean, if we're successful, it's not going to take 30 days, right?
Yeah.
And we are going to be successful because we are very good at this. Yeah. Rock says to all of the people that have been talking in her head this time.
But Baobab does not seem as thirsty for Elegry's revenge as Elegry does. And if we can appeal to Baobab as well for mercy, it's worth a try.
Yeah.
I think this is a good plan. I think you got a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. So I say to Elegry and Baobab, I say, let us pray about this. And if we could rest, I look at Isperil and I say, we rest in your shrine?
Isperil looks to Baobab, and Baobab nods, and then Isperil nods to all of you. Yes, you are welcome to stay as long as you'd like.
Well, let us retreat then.
Take a
rest. Yes.
Oh, we're resting in the Eldath shrine?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of vibe am I getting off Eldath? Like, what kind of mood is she putting out?
So after your prayer, you basically, you got the like, you got the response that was like, oh, okay, I'm glad you think they're cool.
Oh. So she leaves your prayer on red.
Yeah, and then you got a, so they have a key? Is that the, they got a key down there or no?
We're very close, I'm praying inside my head, to getting a key.
Cool. Well, just let me know. I am in contact with Targonoth the Brave.
No.
Expedite Kadra. That plan if that's what needs to happen.
Kadra.
This valley's not going to glacier itself.
I don't think that's what needs to happen. I don't think so.
And she...
I know this is my first mission, but I really hope you'll trust me.
Oh, God.
And she says, there's still time. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Angel on training wings.
Listen, it's better than the this is my final mission before I retire.
Is it?
Right. Yes.
One day
because that worked
time.
Out really great for Bruce Killshatter.
I do prefer Azira to Bruce Killshatter by quite a bit so far. So far.
Yep.
Hey, he gave me this nice cloak.
He did. And I'd say that was last mission before he died, and he worked out pretty great. So. God. Oh, boy.
All right, we're going to go rest, take a long rest, yes, and then go kill Geriat.
Yeah, with our angelic Hufflepuff. Yeah.
Okay. So that is the plan. You are going to go take a quick rest then? That's what you're
okay,
going to
so
do.
Hear long me long out.
Rest, right?
Long yeah, rest. He said as long as you want, and I'm
yes,
feeling...
Yes, points. I have zero.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Oh, I
yeah, you are...
Oh, roll your portents. Torsten, roll
that's
your
right.
Portents.
I'm doing it. I'm doing
roll
it.
Roll one.
Here we go. Portent.
Come on. A 3 and a 15.
Hey, 3. Yes.
Oh, nice. Those are good.
Those are nice
I
numbers.
See stunning nice. In
some friggin' whatever it's called. Range. Heart exploder.
that's
yes!
A 3. So you can force probably a fail.
Probably has like 60 constitution.
So are we going to just try to sneak in the whole way? Are we going to bluff our way in? How are we getting to him
so
before
that,
we then...
The first secret door that she was in, where did that... Was it another secret door? Did we go out and then... I don't remember.
So you have only ever entered the dwarf side of the dungeon via the main entrance
yes.
at the Nexus of Doors.
But then we found a secret door that his wife was in.
You did, but there was only a secret door. That was the only way in and
okay,
out was right. that
That's
door.
What I thought. All right.
Yeah, so the main room was the room with all the bone devils and the trap that I got stuck in. She took us through a room with the statue. We went through a T-junction that had a coffin that nobody touched. God. And then we went all the way to the end where there was a large table where he was sitting at a table doing contract shit mm-hmm. with secret stuff in the back that I didn't tell you about. And there were some other doors and other places, or there was two other hallways that we didn't go down. But I have the little...
And there was a secret door in his throne room as well.
Yeah. There were two doors and a secret door. So the most direct route is trap room, statue room, T-junction, his room.
Okay.
But there were other, like the statue room, that was where those two, was that where the two
that
doors?
That was where there were vampires playing
yeah.
in the blood fountain.
Splashing around in the fountain.
Yeah.
So that's...
Anyway, given the places that we've been already, Rock, do you think there's any way that we can figure out where that secret door comes from?
Like, the so throne room back? Secret door?
Yeah.
Voice in my head, can I map this out and figure out how to do secret doors?
Ooh,
I will say,
yes.
I'm not joking that I've been keeping maps.
Nice.
I've been mapping
awesome.
Every
That's
place
awesome.
That we've been going, and I've been trying my best, and like every time you're like, secret door over here, and secret door over here.
Rock, are you proficient in cartographer's tools?
No.
I don't
no,
even know if that's actually a thing. Is that a thing in 5th edition?
Cartographers, yeah. No, it's absolutely, right? And I am not.
Well, that's fine. So I'm just going to need, I think, a straight up and down intelligence check here.
Okay.
Can I give her some guidance?
You can.
All right.
Remind me what D4. Guidance does.
D4.
Oh, cool. Cool. I rolled a 6. So intelligence check, not saving throw. That's only a 9.
Okay.
Is your inspiration?
Oh, yeah. You got inspiration earlier. We all did.
I do have inspiration.
Use it.
I will use my inspiration.
Or you can have mine.
I'm proud of you.
No. I've got it. I've got We'll give it a try. Nope, that's worse.
Well,
nope.
Rock, it's hard to say. You think that based on where the doors in the Nexus are and what you've learned about connections, that there might be a connection to the Goblinoid somewhere, a secret door connection within the Goblinoid place. That's pretty much what you got.
Yeah, but we didn't go everywhere, and I mean, it kind of sucks, but we really only have to go through like two rooms to get to him, and one is a hallway, so it's not so bad. I think we can bluff our way in. It's just once we're there and fighting, I think everyone's gonna come. So
yeah,
we just have to be prepared for that.
So all right, here's a plan. I can do my quivering palm, and if he fails his con throw, which Torsten might make him do, I have 17 days, and I can explode him at any point. So maybe we don't have to kill him. We can just make him give us his key. Because if he dies, then there's going to be a vacuum, and he's going to lose power within 30 days. So just an idea. Try and hold him hostage with the threat of
death. That's a good idea, but also a lot of very powerful creatures are...
They might have legendary resistance.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll do it. I'll do it two or three times because I can do it five times.
Also, if we don't kill him immediately, but we've got this thing that could, they might just send people to attack us. And if we don't kill him, how do we convince Eligory to be pity?
We can just kill him too. That's fine.
I guess we could use it on Legba though.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, that's just it's always an option. It lasts 2 days. So.
Yeah, we could always use it on Legba.
I know you got this cool toy, but, you know, it's...
What?
I want you to use it.
Yeah. We can try that on Legba.
Yeah, I think that would be easier to
keep Legba. That's all
yeah, no, mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we Hostage. Got five shots. Yeah.
All right, so we are going to bluff our way in and then just attack, or... Because I can do lots of sneaking.
I'm ready
for the murder. What is it? You have
disadvantage on this? As you're talking about bluffing and sneaking, you all remember you do have a new ally with you as well.
Hey, ally, what can you do? Can you turn invisible?
Can I turn invisible?
you cannot.
Asks Eldath.
Reason I'm throwing that out there is you now have a big old angel hanging out with you.
I'm just ready to...
Could make some things easier or harder, as the case may be.
Well, we want to make this harder
maybe
on
like
that.
Sneaking.
Just throwing it out.
I mean, I can be invisible, and if you can just distract him, I can just try to kill him real quick.
That you could do that.
You do a lot of damage. Azira, do you have any abilities to kind of make us invisible, teleport us, anything like this?
Nope.
Yeah, I was gonna say you can turn into a mammoth.
Yeah, I can change shape, so I could cause a distraction.
Plus, if she can turn into a mammoth, she can block up doors and keep an army from coming.
If you turn into a mammoth, can I ride you like a horsey?
Say no.
Like a mammoth.
Will she be a mammoth with tiny angel wings?
Only if I want to be, which
and
I
like
don't.
A cute halo on the trunk.
Please. Please.
So cute. No.
Yes.
Aww. I mean, yeah, I can do that.
Yes.
That's more distracting.
I encourage everyone who wants to see what TK was just talking about to Google Holy Font, which is a Dungeons & Dragons creature from earlier editions that is essentially that.
Why you gotta call me out like that, Jay?
Oh, no, I think it's awesome.
Not knowing that weird, obscure creature from an early D&D edition. That's all right. Well, I don't know. I think bluffing our way in can work. I think that's easy enough. And then...
If you need a distraction, maybe give me a signal.
Yeah.
And I will turn it into a mammoth at any moment.
Can you turn into, like, a little bug and hide in one of our pockets until we need you?
Oh!
Like, sneak you in?
No.
No.
Can you turn into me?
Oh.
Because I can.
I
have
that
ring.
Challenge rating equal or lesser to my own.
Yes, you could. So essentially, what I would do for that is you would return all your normal statistics, and you would just look like Rock.
because I've got this ring that let me be invisible. And so if I'm invisible and you look like me, then nobody is going to be like, who's angel person? But they won't miss me. And then you talk to that person that we'll go talk to. I've forgotten who we're killing. We'll talk to the guy for killing Geriad. I can just sneak up on him and like almost kill him.
Ah.
He doesn't know I'm there. I get a lot of death.
You guys are so smart. Okay.
This is the most strategizing we've done in 34 sessions.
He even sounds like me. It'll be great.
He has a ton of HP, though.
We sound exactly the same.
Out of character, I probably won't kill him in one shot, but if I get a sneak attack on him to start
with that oath bow,
with the oath bow, with the extra damage that I do and being invisible, like, I could start us off pretty nice.
Cool. I love it.
But if you're invisible and we have to deceive them, who's doing the talking?
Well, I wasn't going to be doing the talking anyway. Let's be honest.
You're the talker.
Yeah. I have a +8 to my persuasion, but you're smarter.
I have a +0.
I'm the talker, but I'm not the liar.
Oh, Isabel.
But do we need...
I only have a +2 to deception.
All we need to say is we need to talk to Geriat. We need to go back in and talk with him. Like,
I guess, that's not... like, we don't have to give a reason until we are with him, probably? I mean, I think
if Azira looks like me, then we don't have to explain anything.
Yeah. The dwarves know that we're working with him, so I think we can just fall back on that.
Hopefully, because my deception is not good.
But we have inspiration, so.
We do, yes, you do. So, is that, where are we at the moment? Are y'all ready to rock?
I think so.
Long rest.
Yeah.
So mad.
Before we head on in, I'll activate the ring that I have that makes me be invisible. I just double checked. It just says, I remain invisible until the ring is removed, until I attack or cast a spell, or until I use a bonus action to become visible again. So there's no, I can just be invisible forever.
That's right, except from the one Dark Lord Sauron, who will see you whenever you put on. Like, it's a trade-off. It's a trade-off. But
I can see him too, and we look at each other, and because he's got the same passive perception that I do, and it's just crazy.
He does.
He's like, whoa, what are you doing looking at me? And I look at him.
I'm going to make an argument for him not being able to see underground since...
Fair enough.
There's a layer of lead before we got down. You can't see through that. Okay, so...
I'm just taking a minute to look over my spells because I have a lot.
Azira, let's hear your rock impression.
I'm rock!
Okay. Let
sounds legit.
Let Torsten do the talking.
All right. Azira, can you keep a secret?
No.
Oh, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
This is pretty good.
It's going
really well. Yeah. This is going way better than I thought it would.
You sound better me than me.
Very method.
All right.
Yeah.
And
Let's do it.
I polymorphed into rock now, and I'm like, the feathers are so dirty.
Sorry. Itchy.
Yeah, you look like a rock. Exactly. Pretty much true. You look exactly like Rock.
Please give Rock an adorable parrot voice.
The difference is you are holding an enormous gold mace on your back.
You might want to hide that. I don't usually use those kind of things. I don't know if anyone will notice, but...
I, hold it out, where do I put this?
Your weapon is kind of bound to you, and you're able to store it if you want in an extra dimensional space, and you can just bamf it into your hand whenever.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I do that.
Dude, I forgot about that.
All right. I have one last.
Folds it up, puts it in a pocket.
I have one last question for the DM before we do this, because I hope this is the kind of thing that Rock would know. So, my insightful fighting, where I do the thing where I incite somebody and they have to roll a deception check. Do they know that's happening, or is that just me trying to read them while they are trying not, like...
I think, because it's a rogue ability, I would think it's more the latter, right? Mm-hmm. That when you're fighting, no matter who's looking at you, whether you know it or not, you're trying not to show what your weaknesses are, right?
Yeah.
And so that is, I would say that's the idea, is that the deception check is not about actively fooling you specifically, but about just not showing weakness in general, because that is typically a bad idea.
Okay. That's, I just want to double check that before we go in there and I try to incite him. And he's like,
I mean, that must be a question for so many rogues, right? Because rogues, even if they're not invisible, they're hiding. So a lot of the time. So I think that's, I'm going to say that is the intent of the rule. Boom.
Listen, all I care about is what you say. I don't care what the rules say.
I'm sending that clip to Jeremy Crawford.
And Jeremy will go, you're her DM, then you're correct.
Right.
That's true. That is true.
So what does Torsten know about pit fiends? Basically, I'm trying to decide if I should
get... You can make an arcana check.
Yeah. So that's a 29.
All right. Torsten knows a lot about pit fiends. It's weird. It's from his like goth phase that he had as a teenager.
No, your enemy, Eldath.
No, no. He was a spiritual warrior. He did like missionary camps and stuff.
And he warned people about the dangers of pit fiends.
He handed out pamphlets for maces and monsters.
So pit fiends, you know, have the typical devil immunities of fire and poison. And they are also, they have resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage from non-magical attacks that are not silvered. So you need either a silver or magical weapon, which all of you have. Azdira, your angelic weapons feature makes your weapons magical. So that's pretty dope. So anything you use is technically a magical weapon, Azdira. You know that they are essentially the most powerful type of devil before archdevils, right? That the devilish, the infernal hierarchy means that pit fiends are pretty much at the top. So these are very powerful individuals. You also know that they can cast fireball at will and that they can summon a wall of fire and paralyze people with just a look. In combat, they have a very intense fear aura. And little known fact about pit fiends, their bite is poisonous.
Well, I cannot be poisoned, so bite away, sir.
All right. Well, I don't like all those spells, so I think I'm going to go for Glove of Invulnerability instead of Sunbeam. That's what I want to do.
Got it. Nice, nice, nice. Any other questions?
Do they have any, like if somebody has Radiant on them, does that hurt them more? Vulnerabilities?
They have no vulnerabilities. Oh. They are resistant to cold damage, too.
We should probably mention that to Isabel because that's what her new fun weapon.
Yeah, I mean, resistance isn't immune, so it's still worth a little extra damage.
Pace. Just before we're kind of ready to go, I will tell a story of Eldath defeating some greater demon devil. Mm. And everybody gets, 19 temporary hit points.
Woohoo!
Okay, everybody gets 19. Temporary hit points.
20 now.
For being super awesome, and for really for Torsten being super awesome,
for Eldath
telling, that's right, at Eldath being awesome for telling great stories.
Thanks. This that pushes me almost to 200 hit points.
Ooh.
By the way, Azira, this is one of the greatest stories you have ever heard.
It's so good. Like I'm crying by the end. I just think Eldath is so cool.
Oh my gosh.
They don't.
And they both, because you both look like Eric Okra.
Yeah,
we embrace.
Yeah, we
are. And then weird. I reflexively preen because I look weird. I'm like, no, the feathers should go to like this.
I've seen a lot of weird things. This is near the top of the charts. This campaign so far.
And you are now all refreshed, ready to go. You've got your temporary hit points. You are in the nexus here. And Azira, just so you know, this is a nexus of doors. You see one door has a bunch of symbols on it. That is the door that is clearly demarked kind of as Zancrown's cell. And then there are these other doors. Each one has its own symbol. You come out of a door that has a snowflake on it. And there is a door with a helmet. There's a door that has a gold coin on it. There's a door with a star on it. So you can see all of these doors. And everybody is lined up now in front of the door with the gold piece on it. Is the plan just to go in?
So the door is destroyed.
Oh, that's right. I exploded.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that door has been quivering, palmed open.
Yeah. So I will activate the rings. Yeah, I will activate the ring so I'm invisible, and then
Cool. So yeah, you'll do that probably before you're in view of the door, right? And you can see there are a couple of bone devils walking around when you step into the Nexus. They just give a nod to you all and let you pass through. You're able to pass through this room that has all of these little dwarf idols in alcoves on the wall, and there are devils walking around. You come through the next room, Azira. It is very disturbing. There is a picture of, or not a picture, a statue of a dwarf in the middle of this fountain, and the fountain is a blood pool, and the dwarf is spitting blood like in a classical fountain sort of style, and all around them are dwarf vampire spawn that are sort of bathing and splashing around in this blood. As you walk by, they actually try to flick some of it at you this time, all of you.
I jump away.
They laugh, and you come to this next room that is a four-way intersection. There's a coffin near the center of the room, and you are able to then pass on and make your way into the room that is like sort of directly across. So it's a four-way intersection. You don't go left or right. You just go straight. And you come into a room set with a long table, and you can see Jariot is there. This time he's got a large tome open. He is this enormous pit fiend that has some dwarfy features. His head is sort of square like a dwarf's is typically, and he actually has a long beard coming off of his face the way a dwarf typically does, which is not normal for pit fiends. You can see he also has these three imps that are flying around his head. They're sort of chasing each other. Occasionally they land on his shoulders and stop to read what he is reading. And sometimes he'll, if they get too close or like bother him, he'll just push them away like you would a cat or something. And he's at the end of this long table. So do you all walk into the room?
I would like to sneak into the room. I may be invisible, but I think there might be reason to sneak.
Okay, go ahead, Rock. Make a stealth check for me.
It's a 21.
So, yes, you all come into the room and Jariot looks up at you and he says, is it done? As and that's where we will stop.
Seems fair.
Nice.